I think it's time for a confession this morning. Have any of you ever cheated when you've read a good book? And by cheating, I mean going to the end to see how it turns out. I do this all the time. I'm not really good at dealing with suspense. It makes me anxious to not know where the storyline is going or how things are going to pan out, especially if it's a mystery or thriller type of book. Sometimes the suspense, as they say, can just be killing me to the point that I can't keep reading it until I find out where it's all going, how it all gets resolved at the end of the book. And so I look at the last few pages, and then I can exhale and relax and get back to just getting engrossed in the story that's being told. It kind of makes the tension a little more bearable. We all remember the story from a long, long time ago, the movie about Forrest Gump, and the famous line, "Life is like a box of chocolates." Right? We never know what we are going to get. Now, the difference is, for some people, there is no such thing as a bad chocolate, right? I mean, that's true for some people. But in a box of chocolates, I think what Forrest Gump was getting at is sometimes you get what you expect and sometimes you don't. Sometimes things can go well in your life and things cannot go so well. Sometimes things happen in our lives, in our country, in this world that aren't always seen as being good. Sometimes things do go according to plan, but sometimes things can happen that cause pain and hurt. Sometimes in our own lives, we can be cruising along and then something unexpected comes along that throws us for a loop, that knocks us off course. I think sometimes when we look at it, human existence, we think that somehow, because we are so smart and because we are so talented and we are so gifted collectively as human beings, that we're on this never-ending path of progress, that things are always getting better. But sometimes things can regress. Sometimes we can go backwards. I saw a post on someone's Facebook page recently that said the way life is supposed to work, and it showed kind of a squiggly line, but usually always making progress. And the other side said, well, how my life works. And it was just a whole bunch of squiggles all over the place as their life went along. And I think that's the way life in this world is as well. We live in a tension, because sometimes we look around us and it's easy to lose hope. It's easy to feel like we are going backwards in society, in civilization. Like we aren't really that much different than people 100 years or 200 or 300 or 500 or several thousand years ago. Sometimes it helps to look at the back of the book, the ending, to be reminded of how it's all going to turn out. It's easy for us to forget the promises that are made to us in Scripture about a new heaven and a new earth. The promises that God one day is going to intervene and set things right. Somehow, sometimes we act as if the ending is not written yet, or if somehow we've messed up God's ultimate plan for His creation, and that we need to set it right. And as we try harder and harder to set it right, oftentimes we end up making things worse and worse. Now, the fact that God's plan for creation is eventually going to be accomplished doesn't mean that along the way there isn't real pain and real tragedy and real suffering. And yet it helps give us something to latch on to. Now, in Woody Allen's satirical comedy, I forgot to write down the title. I think it was called About God. It's set on kind of a Greek drama. And in the final act, when human race is embroiled in conflict and hopeless problems, Zeus was supposed to be lowered onto the stage and fix everything. Only in Woody Allen's play, as Zeus is being lowered, something happens with the apparatus that's lowering him. He gets tangled up in it and is strangled to death. And the actors were all sitting there wondering what to do next before one of them finally blurts out, "God is dead," ad-libbed the ending. And in many ways, we're ad-libbing the ending in this world, because the world at large doesn't know how things end. The world sees the ends exclusively as being in our hands. And if we don't finish things right, all is going to be lost. Maybe that's why there's so much interest among Christians about the end times, because of the uncertainty of what is happening. Questions like, how will it all work out? What will happen? And more importantly to many, when will it all happen? These are questions we hear. A lot of sermons have been preached, a lot of books written, trying to answer those questions by looking at Scripture and interpreting what is said there. From our gospel lesson today, it's clear that people in Jesus' day wanted to know the same thing. They asked about the temple. Jesus said this temple would be torn down stone by stone. And their question wasn't how, it was when. When is this going to happen? We get consumed with when God is going to step in and make everything better. I'm always puzzled by the desire by many preachers even to predict the end when it's so obvious that Jesus didn't answer that question and even said in Scripture that no one, not even he himself, knows when God is going to bring all things to fruition. If you read this text carefully, you will see that Jesus never really answers their question about when. Instead, he warns them to not interpret the things that they see as the end. He talks about things that will happen before the end, but don't necessarily predict the end. He talks about false messiahs and false predictions and then says, don't believe them. He talks about wars and uprisings and then says, but the end won't follow immediately. He talks about natural disasters and famines and epidemics and even things that can't be explained. But then he says, before all this, something else is going to happen. Jesus really seems to be avoiding the particulars of when. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus never answers when, but he does something else, maybe something more important. He gives us instructions for how we are to live in the meantime. He tells us not to believe the false prophets. Don't panic when there's wars and insurrections. Don't worry even when Christians are persecuted and put to death. You see, I think Jesus makes an important distinction between predicting the end and seeing the end. When the Bible talks about the end, it often isn't really trying to predict when it's going to happen as much as it's trying to shape how those of us who follow Jesus look at what's going on in the world around us. Because how we see what's going on in the world around us, the wars and insurrections and natural disasters and all of that that happens, even the persecution of Christians, how we see all of that shapes how we live in the present. It shapes how we go about our lives. We can agree in the church about many things. We can also disagree about many things, right? That happens maybe more often than what we agree. But Jesus talks about this being a time of witness. Verse 13 says it's an opportunity to witness, an opportunity to testify. Too often we can be caught, even as Christians, being tempted to place our hope in the midst of all that we see happening around us, not in God and in God being in control, but in a politician or a political party, in a caucus in the church, even in a particular pastor that seems to be saying what we want them to say. When faced with all that's going on around us, we can blend into this world to avoid the damage and continue to exist. There's Christians that do that. It's an easy trap to fall into. There are others, some Christians that withdraw from the world in order to preserve what they have, to seclude themselves from all the trouble that's going on. But in this passage this morning, Jesus seems to be saying to us, in the midst of whatever may be happening, no matter how tragic and terrible it seems that things are going, we just need to trust that God is somehow at work. We can be a witness in this world, a witness to the trust that we have in God, to testify that somehow what gets us through this time is not the belief that somehow human beings are massively messing up creation and this world and society, which in many ways we are, but that somehow, in spite of all that, God is still in control. We can disagree, as I said before, about differences in how we read the beginning of the story, on how we read Genesis. Christians even disagree, sometimes very fervently, about how we read the end of the story and exactly how to interpret the book of Revelation. But the one thing that I think we can agree upon is the same Lord that was God of the beginning is also the God of the end. The same God that created all that we see, that sets all of this into motion, is somehow going ahead of us, is somehow moving ahead of us, is somehow out there drawing us to God's self in ways that we can't possibly even envision or understand, because the hope of what we hold up, the picture we have of God's kingdom come on earth, the picture we have of God setting all things right, is so different from what we are experiencing now. And yet we can trust that somehow God's plan is still at work. What's it like to have a Christian view of the world? A Christian view of things going horribly wrong, a Christian view of suffering. I think a Christian view of the end is that we live in hope. The hope that we have that God goes ahead of us, that He's out there somewhere. I don't know if any of you have seen the movie No Country for Old Men. Have anybody seen that movie? It's a movie that was around several years ago. Tommy Lee Jones stars as a sheriff by the name of Ed Tom Bell, who has spent the entire movie fighting a drug ring. And at the end of the movie, he's telling his wife about two different dreams that he's had. And he says the first one he doesn't really remember very well. But the second dream is about Ed Tom and his father. And they're riding on horseback through the mountains somewhere. And he remembers in the dream it being cold and dark. And at some point in the dream, his father rides past him and just keeps going off into the darkness. But Ed Tom tells how his dad was carrying fire in a horn like people used to do before it was so easy to make fire. He could see the horn because of the fire inside, and it kind of glowed like the color of the moon. In the dream, Ed said that somehow he knew that his dad was going on ahead to fix a fire somewhere out there in the cold and the dark, and that he knew that somehow, whenever he got there, his dad would be waiting for him with warmth and with light. And that's how we as Christians live today in this world. That somehow, in spite of the darkness and the cold, that somewhere out there, God is going ahead of us. And one day, who knows when that is, whenever we get there, God will be waiting. And that's our hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.